Southern Sudan says another bout of violence during this week's independence referendum has killed 10 people. Officials say Arab tribesmen attacked a bus carrying Southern Sudanese from the north to the south, an attack which also wounded 18 others. Another attack on Sunday in the congested region of Abyei killed at least 20 people. United States Congressman Frank Wolf is the co-chair of the Bipartisan Sudan Caucus in Congress and a longtime advocate for Southern Sudan. He spoke to Charles Collins about the ongoing referendum.
Well, I've been to Sudan a number of times, first time in 1989, and what the impression is very, very positive. I mean, 20 years of death and war and killing, almost 2.2 million people died in the north-south battle. The CBA was signed 5 years ago, and we're seeing the results of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, whereby my sense is that the South, the SPLA, will be voting this week, and it will be ratified for total, complete independence, whereby they can have their own country. So I think it's a good news story. It's very positive. And compared to where they were, it's unbelievable.
We're hearing reports coming out of the southern Sudan that there has been some violence. 20 policemen were killed in that region between South Sudan and northern Sudan, which is contested. Do you fear that there could still be more violence on the horizon in southern Sudan?
The answer to the question is yes. I saw those reports, too. There were reports that I saw there were 28 killed. A lot depends on how the government of Khartoum, Sudan, responds. They have the capacity to create a lot of problems. And I don't want to say anything to be critical, because I'm hopeful that they will be, but they have not had a very good record of keeping their promises. Hopefully this promise will be kept. But so I don't think you can predict outright success. Everything goes smooth without knowing how the government of Khartoum is going to respond. Now, their comments over the last couple of weeks have been very, very positive, and I also think it's been very positive that Senator Kerry, head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, has been out in the region for a week speaking to the people of the North and the South. So a lot depends on how the Bashir government responds to the results when they're announced.
The southern Sudan government itself, let's face it, is not the most structured and organized government in the world. The country has less than 100 miles of paved road. What can be done by the international community and especially the United States to help southern Sudan build the institutions necessary to be a successful government?
Well, there's a lot that can be done by the West, and frankly, I think all countries in the West, including the United States, ought to participate, because unfortunately, for the longest period of time, many countries, both European and even the United States, neglected to deal with the issue of Sudan. And when I would go there, people didn't understand why the West was silent and didn't speak out. So I think as a result of the silence of the West, now that this thing hopefully will be successful, the more aid and assistance. Secondly, it's my hope that many of the diaspora, many of the lost boys and groups like that, will return to Sudan, if not to live forever, because many are now American citizens, at least to go back and give them 1 and 2 years of their time with regard to the expertise. But I think economic assistance, educational assistance, healthcare assistance, and also many governments of Europe can be very helpful in advising the South with regard to international affairs and with regard to things like this. Now, the Norwegians have been very, very good. I think of all the countries, I would give a bouquet to the Norwegians. In fact, the first time I was there, I went in with Norwegian People Aid, and they have been on the ground doing a lot. But I think everyone in the West will have sort of a moral responsibility to give them whatever help, mainly technical and some assistance, some aid, but a lot of technical help. They're very smart people, but they haven't had an educational system for a long period of time.
And what of the rest of Sudan? We were talking about Southern Sudan gains independence. The rest of Sudan, of course, we hear about the Darfur situation constantly, and also the fact that the Bashir government has promised to impose Sharia law in all of northern Sudan if the South doesn't, in fact, secede. Should pressure still be put to bear on northern Sudan to respect the rights of its citizens?
I think it can, and I think it should, because your point is well taken on Darfur. Almost nothing has taken place in this North-South effort impacts on Darfur. And the genocide took place, 200, 300,000 people died, and many of the people, most, cannot even return to their villages. And on the north, there are a number of Muslims who really don't want to live under Sharia. There are a number of animists and Christians, even, that live in the Khartoum area. They don't want to live under Sharia. So we're hoping that the government of the north, or the Khartoum government, will be respectful of that, and also making sure that there's not a return to terrorism, because they had, if you recall, Osama bin Laden was invited into Sudan, lived there from 91 to 94. So I think this doesn't end with a successful referendum.